Bridges and levees are in danger of collapsing. Ports and airports aren't equipped to handle the traffic. Poor road conditions are costing drivers almost $800 a year in extra vehicle maintenance costs. Martin Wax is one of America's foremost authorities on planning and transportation. In semi-retirement, he's teaching and conducting research at UCLA, and he's working on projects at the RAND Corporation. He's also serving on a statewide committee created by the legislature to design a new system for financing road repair. Welcome aboard.
Thank you very much.
The total backlog in state and local transportation repair is at least $130 billion, and it's rising every day. How did things get so bad?
The principal reason is that about 100 years ago, we decided to finance transportation by using a motor fuel tax, a gas tax and a diesel tax. And that worked well for a long time because travel grew and the revenue grew with the growth in travel. But we've not raised the per gallon tax since 1993, and we have dramatic improvements in fuel economy, and we should have for greenhouse gas reasons and for imported oil reasons. So we have to find another way of funding this if we're going to have a flow of revenue in order to support our transportation system.
So you're saying then that the tax on fuel simply wouldn't do the job? You'd have to raise it so high?
In the short run, the tax on fuel, if we raised it substantially, 15, 20, 30 cents a gallon, would certainly help us for the coming 5 years or 10 years. But that would also accelerate the trend toward people buying more fuel-efficient vehicles and electric vehicles, which pay absolutely no road user charge presently. So eventually, even a higher gas tax would defeat itself. We may have 10 or 15 or 20 years for a transition, but it's a long-term change to another system of finance that we really need.
So the special session that just ended and its failure to really address this issue isn't just politics.
It is politics in part because we do need a short-term solution, and that would include raising the gas tax for now for 5 and 10 years. But remember that the state is already under a directive from the legislature to test an alternative system. And July 1st, we started with 5,000 vehicles in the field testing the payment for the use of roads by the mileage that we drive. We have 5,000 people, including me, I should add, that have devices in our vehicles which are reporting daily on our mileage, and we're receiving simulated bills at the end of each month for the driving that we did. And we think, many of us think, that is the wave of the future. It's being done in Europe for truck fees, and it's being considered by at least 16 other states, and California is one of the leading states. Oregon was first, and California is now trying it as well.
So if this were to come into effect, then would everybody have a device like that in their car?
Eventually, every new car would have a device in it when it was sold, and we could pay for our roads by miles driven. And I should add that this would replace the gas tax. It wouldn't necessarily mean paying more. We could charge people less per mile for fuel-efficient vehicles or less per mile for driving on roads that cost us less, and it would be a more precise and, I think, eventually a fairer system of paying for the use of roads.
So what have you found so far in this pilot program with 5,000 cars, including yours?
The one thing that it's really interesting is that Californians, like every other, the citizens of every other state, when they hear about the program, immediately say, this is a terrible idea. I don't want government tracking my travel. My privacy is threatened, and I pay enough in taxes. When they begin to learn about the deficiencies that we have in the current funding system, people say, well, you know, that sounds actually like it could be interesting or it could be fairer. So an important part of this whole program is educating the public that we really need the money, that we save money by having better roads. We save money both in terms of wear and tear on our cars, but also in our ability to do business across the state and to engage in social and recreational activities across the state. And people are ultimately willing to pay a fair price if they're convinced that it's fair. So part of it is just informing people that this system can work, and of course testing it to prove that it works.
What kind of car do you have?
My family owns two Priuses, and that's another interesting point. the majority of people who've signed up for this are people who drive the most fuel-efficient vehicles, which means they're paying less. And people with, you know, pickup trucks and vans that are more fuel inefficient are signing up in smaller numbers, even though they have more to gain. And I think that's another indication that education, training, learning, information is a very important part of this.
On the broader point about transportation and the decline of our systems in California, does it make sense to combine all these programs, the bridges, the levees, the ports, the airports, and all that, or should they be dealt with one at a time?
Well, we have traditionally paid for water when we use water. We've traditionally paid for bridges when we use bridges. We certainly all share the benefits of better infrastructure. But there's also a long-established tradition of paying on the basis of the use that we give the system. And I think a mixed system is appropriate. The government can certainly be involved with general revenues up to a point, but we shouldn't be subsidizing heavy water users and not charging for the use. We shouldn't be subsidizing those who use the bridges every day with general taxation. There should be a mix of supporting it with general revenue and user fees.
Very quickly, how long is it going to be before the bridges start to fall down and the levees start to break?
They're already load limited. For example, you know, you can't drive a heavy truck across some bridges because of danger. I think it's a slow process, but it's already underway. And we don't want to wait until there's a collapse or people get injured or hurt. But there are bridges and levees that are in danger.
Sometimes we operate according to what Governor Brown used to call crisis management. Others have called it the same thing. And I wonder if, in fact, that's what will be required if it'll take a bridge collapse.
I certainly hope not, because that could cost dozens or hundreds of lives. And the evidence that we need to do something is crystal clear now. Whether it requires a crisis or not, I guess, is not something that I want to speculate about, but it may well be true that what you say is correct.
All right, Martin Wax, once again, now at UCLA and the RAND Corporation, also working on the pilot program he described. It's great to have you with us, and thanks so much.
Thank you very much.
Alney, and this is Alney in LA.